everyone, and welcome to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. Thank you if you're joining us from around the world in the chat room or on the phone. We're so glad that you came in to support the show. For the month of May, we will be doing several interviews with professionals and the public, so stay tuned and listen or watch for announcements about upcoming shows on the different social networks. If there is a subject, a topic you would like to see discussed, well, contact us and leave a message at www.theessenceofsuccess.net, or that's our website, or you can go to the Facebook page, The Essence of Success Network. Okay, the time right now is 6:01 on the West Coast, and it's about 9:01 on the East Coast. So today we're going to be talking about horoscopes, health and wellness, sports, and if we get a chance, news of the weird. That always makes everybody laugh, huh? Okay, so we're going to begin the luckiest quality of each zodiac sign. That's the lucky quality of each zodiac sign. So we'll begin. First one, Sagittarius. Sagittarius is the first on the list by default. Its ruling planet is Jupiter, which has always been associated with good fortune, generosity, and advance, abundance. For Sagittarius, life itself is a rich tapestry of priceless experiences and adventures. Number two, Capricorn. Capricorn may not be the first sign that comes to mind when you think of lucky accidents, but Capricorn is driven to succeed no matter how long it takes. That's a pretty lucky trait to have. Capricorn's determination to take charge of their own fate and ruthless efficiency gives them the power to create as much of their own luck as they need. Leo. Everyone loves Leo. Leo especially loves Leo. Self-confidence is a key ingredient to creating a life full of good luck. Leo attracts all kinds of positive energy from other people simply because that's what they expect. They're comfortable with telling an audience exactly what they need. And their presentation is so engaging that people are usually glad to give them what they ask for. Number four, Taurus. Taurus is drawn to wealth, beauty, and comfort. Their natural sense of value and insistence on security makes them shrewd investors, and not just when it comes to material wealth. Taurus' sense of territory includes quality people and ideas as well as fine objects. Bad luck is simply not allowed on their property. Number five, Pisces. Back when humans hadn't yet discovered any planets past Saturn, Jupiter was also Pisces' ruling planet. Neptune holds that position these days, but many of the old associations still apply. Pisces' greatest talent is empathy, the ability to understand other people on a deep emotional level. They tend to know what others need and are quick to help, which earns them a wide variety of useful connections in their social and professional networks. Number six, Libra. Fairness and balance are Libra's main concern, not luck. In fact, if Libra has a run of good luck for too long, they'll start looking for the negative side and they know must be coming. Libra isn't a cynic by any means, but they do tend to be keenly aware that everything good has a downside and vice versa. Happily, Libras can use their negotiation skills to increase their chances of staying away from that downside as long as possible. Aquarius. Number seven, Aquarius. Aquarius is clever and intellectual, but also eccentric and often surrounded by the forces of chaos and change. Sometimes these changes bring happy surprises and an excellent turn of luck. More often, they create an inconvenient mess. Aquarius is one of the most flexible signs, and they're good at spotting promising opportunities in the midst of the worst situations. Their luck is determined by their ability to follow through and pursue these opportunities. Number 8, Aries. Aries relies on brute force, and they're determined to have their way regardless of their luck. This often works to their advantage since they push through every obstacle in their path. However, this approach tends to make a lot of enemies, too. Aries' enthusiasm is admirable, but success will usually come faster and more often if they can rein it in and learn how to get what they want without turning everything into a contest. Number 9, Gemini. Gemini is one of the most social of the signs, is great at impressing people and being a team player. Gemini's biggest problem comes out when they have to go it alone. They just don't function well in solitude for very long. They need input, opinions, and validations from others. Gemini's luck depends on other people's luck, and to me, that's bad luck. Number 10, Virgo. It's not that Virgo attracts bad luck. Virgo just doesn't trust good luck. Virgo trusts lists and database and research and whether something is good or bad happens. They start looking for patterns. This isn't necessarily a bad thing, but you can't reproduce good luck in the lab. Virgo tends to get so wrapped up in logic that they overlook new information that doesn't fit their theory, causing them to miss out on a lot of unexpected opportunities. Number 11, Cancer. If luck depends on attitude, Cancer isn't doing itself any favors. This sign tends to be defensive, passive-aggressive, and to hold grudges forever. Of course, Cancers have their sweet side too, but since they're naturally shy and protective, it's hard to reach that part of them. If you want to increase your good fortune, you have to leave your house and take a few risks. And poor Cancer has a tough time with that. Number 12, Scorpio. Scorpio's ruling planet is Pluto. Because that planet is associated with tragedy and traumatic life lessons, Scorpio naturally comes last on the list. Excuse me. But all Scorpios really the most unlucky people of the zodiac, or do they, like Pluto, actually thrive on drama and challenges? Could it be that Scorpio welcomes bad luck? And if so, is their bad luck actually good luck? Scorpio is an infinite paradox. Okay, and those are your lucky horoscopes, huh? The luckiest quality of the horoscopes. I'll put it like that. Okay. Now we're into health and wellness. So my health and wellness today is 6 tips on how to eat breakfast and lose weight. You can also read this on the website, www.theessenceofsuccess.net. 6 tips on how to eat breakfast and lose weight, a habitual strategy for losing weight is to reduce the number of calories for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but it is much more effective and more pleasant in this sense to work a literate breakfast program with a concentration on certain foods and ingredients. Number 1, increase the serving size. Yes, on one hand, the larger the server size, the more calories. But on the other hand, in this case, experts note a more effective weight loss due to the regulation of metabolism. Number 2, add the bran. Nutritionists call bran one of the key dietary products because they contain an excessive amount of fiber, and in turn removes toxins and toxins, improves intestinal motility, and stabilizes the level of sugar in your blood. Number 3, switch to protein. Chicken breast, steamed beef, tofu, cheese are all quality sources of protein, which would appear on your morning table as often as possible. After all, it's not a secret that the protein perfectly saturates and, according to the results of the research, stimulates the production of a satiety indicator, peptide YY. In this study, participants who ate breakfast for a meal rich in protein reported they felt not hungry and less likely to have a snack before lunch. Number four, prepare the eggs. Omelet, fried, or soft boil. Whichever recipe you choose, we have great news. Recent studies have shown that eating two eggs in the morning helps to lose weight more effectively than with a complete lack of food for breakfast. The fact is that eggs are very rich in protein, as much as 5.5 grams in one piece. Namely, this component effectively removes excess fluid from the body and permanently satisfies the hunger. Bonus, egg also contains choline, which improves the function of the nervous and the cardiovascular system. Number five, eat oatmeal. One of my favorites. I love oatmeal. It may sound quite trite, but it's better not to find a plate of warm classic oatmeal for breakfast. According to a recent study, people who eat a bowl of oatmeal for breakfast are less hungry and generally more satisfied with eating than those who eat the same amount of cereal flakes. For this, thanks to a satiating fiber which stabilizes blood sugar levels and protects against insulin jumps, provoking sudden bouts of hunger. Number six and the last one is do not forget about grapefruit. Well, I can't eat grapefruit because grapefruit, the acid from grapefruit tears me up downstairs. So, omelets, fried or soft boiled, whatever recipe you choose. Now, what is that? They forgot about the grapefruit. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, anyway, I will tell you because they didn't. grapefruit is good. I think it's like a half of one. If you eat it in the morning, it will not only take your blood pressure down, but it will also eat at the fat in your body. So grapefruit is good. It really does work on the fat, just like drinking a teaspoon of vinegar and 8 ounces of water. But it's high in acid. That's the only thing about it. It's high in acidity. So just think about that, eating the grapefruit. Like I said, it is good. So, okay, now the next health and wellness is organic castor oil. Yes, you heard me, organic castor oil. Now, I know you guys probably like, ooh, yuck, pooey, throw up. Multiple studies have confirmed that these recipes are even more effective than conventional medical treatments. One recipe of this kind is a mixture of baking soda and castor oil. Its ingredients are extremely beneficial and provide potent medicinal properties in the case of various health conditions. When these ingredients are combined, you get an extremely potent natural remedy that can provide positive effects in the case of more than 20 health problems. You have probably heard a lot about the properties of baking soda and its wide range of uses. I take baking soda instead of laxatives. Do you know if you put 2 tablespoons of baking soda into a glass of water, I won't say 8 ounces, just fill it up and stir it up real good, and drink it all down as much as you can. In about 15 to 30 minutes, you go to the bathroom, and it actually feels good. You feel clean inside. So that's something that I have tried, and it does work. Castor oil treats various diseases, and when used as a coating, it is one of the most effective natural remedies which stimulate circulation. Due to this quality, it is often used as compress. Now, to prepare such a compress with castor oil, you will need a cold-pressed castor oil, a bottle of hot water, plastic wrap, clean gauze, and a cotton towel and a towel. Clean the skin with some baking soda and then soak the gauze in castor oil. Apply the gauze over the area that needs to be treated and wrap some plastic foil and wrap it in some plastic foil. Use a hot water bottle to warm up the place and secure it with a towel. Leave it thus for over an hour. Afterwards, you should again clean the skin with some baking soda. These are some of the most important uses of castor oil and baking soda. Castor oil coatings applied to the neck effectively treat chronic hoarseness and vocal cord nodules. The oral use of 6 to 8 drops of castor oil for 4 months completely cures tendonitis. Drip a couple drops of castor oil in your ear to enhance your hearing. Castor oil removes pollineal cysts. Massage with castor oil can reduce and prevent the appearance of stretch marks. Mix baking soda with castor oil to remove the dark spots on the face. Castor oil compress quickly treats injured ankles. Castor oil effectively treats cataracts. All you need to do is to drip a drop of castor oil in the eye before going to sleep at night. Consume 5 drops of castor oil daily to prevent allergies. Castor oil coating can significantly ease the pain in the back. The regular massage with castor oil removes calcium deposits on the soles. You should rub some castor oil on the eyelids before bedtime to treat ocular allergies. Apply castor oil directly to treat mouth sores. Massage the scalp with castor oil on a daily basis to stimulate the growth of your hair. Rub castor oil on warts for 30 days to remove them completely. Apply castor oil topically on bug bites to relieve the swelling and itching. The coatings of castor oil treat diarrhea. Treat fungal infections like athlete's foot with the application of castor oil coatings on the feet. It effectively treats hepatitis. How about that? Castor oil coatings on the stomach can stop the snoring in 2 weeks. A mixture of baking soda and castor oil is extremely helpful in the case of cancer. Now, I'll let you know this. I didn't know this about cancer for baking soda and castor oil. I know baking soda is a real good deterrent to cancer. Like if you have tumors in your body, cancer tumors, and you do the 2 tablespoons of soda in a glass of water and drink that 3 times, I think it's 3 times a week, your tumors will go away, period. Yep. So it's helpful in that. And it says in cancer, so, wouldn't hurt. It said, but the mixture of soda and castor oil. The consumption of a few drops of castor oil on a daily basis can help you reduce the addiction to alcohol and nicotine. Well, now we know the rest of the story, huh? You are listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The phone number to the show is 646-727-2914. That's area code 646-727-2914. Okay, we're going to take a quick little break here and be back in a couple of minutes. And we're going to talk about sports, so don't go anywhere. Okay, in fact, we're going to talk about this new regulation now where the guys cannot take a knee on the field. So don't go away. Come right on back. Here you are, Montgomery Gentry.
Walks in, tells the band, crank it up to 10. Then he's up, dancing on his feet. But he's a big mouth, yelling, hey, play some free birds. Just give me 3 steps, and nobody gets hurt.
Then he takes off his shirt.
There's one in every crowd, brings a party in her sound. Good time, Charlie, with a Harley, whiskey bent and hellbound. He's got the next round, but he always top box of Marlboros. He'll bum a light and steal your girl, then laugh at you for getting all upset. When everybody here knows his name, makes everybody else look sane when he's out.
Welcome back to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The time right now is about 6:25 on the West Coast and 9:25 on the East Coast. Okay, I wanted just to share this with you guys before I go into sports. My daughter took me for Mother's Day. We went down to Long Beach to the Pacific Ocean and just had an absolute ball. So I just want to read, this is what she wrote about me, and it was just so sweet, so I want to share this with you from my daughter, Chabonet. When times are good, you expand my happiness. When times are bad, you give me a shoulder to lean on. When I need advice, you give me wisdom beyond my years. When my focus is broken, you help me see clarity. When I am determined, you make sure I finish. When I strive for my goals, you make sure my path is clear. You do all of these things because you're my mother. I've come to realize in my 41 years of age that a mother's job never ends. As I continue in my life conquering challenges and making my dreams reality, I know you will be by my side. I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you, Chabonet. So I just wanted to share that with y'all. That was just so precious. Okay, now let's get to sports. First off, Chris Long issues scorching statement, ripping the NFL anthem rule. Okay, the NFL owners passed a new rule today concerning the national anthem on Wednesday morning, which says that players can choose not to be on the field during the anthem, but those on the field must stand, among other things. This new rule generated all sorts of headlines, nationality, as people on both sides of the issue issued their thoughts, including DeMora Smith, the head of the NFLPA, who blasted it. Now, one of the league's elder statements, Philadelphia Eagles defensive end Chris Long, has spoken up with a scorching statement decrying the rule. This is from Chris Long. This is a fear of a diminished bottom line. It's also a fear of a president turning his base against a corporation. This is not patriotism. Don't get it confused. These owners don't love America more than the players demonstrating and taking real action to improve it. It also lets you, the fan, know where our league stands. I will continue to be committed to affecting change with my platform. I'm someone who's always looking at the anthem as a declaration of ideas, including the right to peaceful protest. Our league continues to fall short on this issue. Clearly, there is a lot of passion behind the statement by Long, who is likely not alone among his peers in taking this view. Okay, well, so with that, with Chris, then let me go on a little bit further about this. Okay. Oh, no. He didn't do that right. Let me go back here. Let's do it from here. Yeah. So, oh, my goodness, it's not giving me. Okay, well, anyway, Adam Scheffler, the new national anthem policy, there's more to it. But anyway, this is their new policy, and it's not all of the things. That's what I was looking for, because I think it's 6 or 7 items. Number one, all team and NFL personnel should stand for the anthem. Now, mind you, I'm just going to let you guys know, the teams used to didn't come out till after the national anthem. Okay, yeah, we're talking back in the 70s, early 80s. Number two, the league office should revise the game operations manual to remove the requirement that all players to be on the field for the anthem. Huh. Number three, personnel who choose not to stand for anthem may stay in the locker room or on a similar location until after the anthem has been performed. Really? Number four, a club will be fined if its personnel do not show appropriate respect for flag and anthem. Okay, there is more to this. I was trying to see. Ah, boy. Nope, not on there. But there was more to this, so I was just wanting to get the full story, but it's not. Each team may develop its own work rules. Okay, well, anyway, you've got the gist of it, the beginning of it, as far as how they feel and what they're doing. So we're going to see how this is all going to turn out. Okay, I don't know. It's quite interesting. We'll just see how it's going to turn out when the game starts in the fall. So, okay. Now, going on, basketball player. Milwaukee police released footage of cop using taser on Sterling Brown. The Milwaukee Police Department released on Wednesday highly anticipated body camera footage of one of the officers using a taser to subdue Milwaukee Bucks guard Sterling Brown in a Walgreens parking lot earlier this year, and said it determined members of its force acted inappropriately. Police Chief Alfonso Morales said officers were recently disciplined without providing details. Officers used the taser and arrested Brown, now 23, in the early hours of January 26 after the arresting officer noticed the athlete's car parked across two handicapped parking spaces at a local Walgreens. Soon after, the officer later wrote in a police report, Brown emerged from the store and stood with arms reached of him, within arm's reach of him, refused repeated requests to step back and become very aggressive. The officer subsequently called for backup, after which Brown physically resisted officers' attempt to handcuff him and was taken to the ground in a controlled manner, the officer said in the report. I just want to say this right here. I don't know how many times we as black people have told you black folks, I don't care what athlete you are, football, baseball, soccer, wrestling, whatever. When the police talk to you, shut up and do what they ask. Once you're taken down to the police station, then you can call your relatives or call your lawyer. But do what the officer asks. If he asks you just to stand there and be still, then do that. Don't agitate the situation, which seems like this is what this young man did. Brown continued to resist while on the ground as a result. See, the officer said a taser had to be employed to get Brown in control with handcuffs. Brown was booked and received a $200 parking ticket, but after looking at the reports and body camera footage, authorities decided against the arresting policeman's request to have Brown charged with obstructing an officer. An internal affairs investigation was opened soon thereafter. The city then, Police Chief Ed Flynn, had questions about the officer's tactics prompting the investigation. What we want to do here is ascertain how a parking ticket turned into a tasing, former Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn. We will be conducting an investigation into this if we were 100% satisfied with our application of our tactics in this matter. Flynn said at the time, what we want to do is ascertain how a parking ticket turned into a tasing, so that's what we're going to do. Flynn retired in February and was succeeded by Morales. Earlier this week, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett expressed concern with what he saw in the video when he viewed it before it was made public. It was this disturbing video when I saw it, and I know that Morales feels the same way, Barrett said, and I don't know exactly what actions his department is going to take, but it is disconcerting to see some of the actions in this video. The police department has been proactive in preparing for a potential backlash. On Tuesday, Morales released a video in which he promised to be honest and transparent should there be an incident where one of our members makes a mistake, unnecessarily escalating a situation. 2 days before that, Assistant Police Chief Michael Brunson Sr. warned parishioners at a local church that an unspecified video would soon be released and asked for their assistance once it was. There's going to be a video that's going to come out soon in the next couple of weeks involving the department, Brunson said, and I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to need your support during the challenges. Brown's attorney, Mark Thompson, has said that Brown plans to file a civil rights lawsuit against the police department as a result of the incident. Okay. So that's on him. Okay, now I've got another one. This is about domestic violence. And if you guys have ever heard me on the NFL show during the season, you know, it starts in September, I go up against these players with domestic violence. I have no patience, no honor, no degree to them. So anyway, so here we go. This is 49ers Foster won't stand trial on domestic violence charges. This is out of San Jose, California. A Santa Clara County judge ruled Wednesday that San Francisco 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster will not have to stand trial on domestic violence charges after determining there was no evidence that Foster ever hit his ex-girlfriend. Judge Nona Clippin said prosecutors didn't meet the burden of probable cause on charges of felony domestic violence and forcefully attempted to dissuade a witness. Foster was also charged with felony possession of an assault weapon after officers found a Sig Sauer 5.16 short barrel rifle in his home while investigating his ex-girlfriend's domestic violence report. That charge was reduced to a misdemeanor. The 49ers have not allowed Foster to take part in the offseason program while he dealt with these charges, and general manager John Lynch has said he would be cut from the team if it was determined that he hit a woman. Hello? Foster will be allowed back Thursday now that the domestic violence charges have been dropped. It has been made clear to Reuben that his place on the team is one that must continue to be earned, Lynch said. We will continue to monitor the remaining misdemeanor charge. The accuser Elisa Ennis recanted her accusation 2 days after telling police she was hit in the head 8 to 10 times by Foster. She testified at a preliminary hearing last week that the injuries were caused by a fight with another woman. She gave prosecutors video of that fight. She said she lied initially because she wanted retribution after Foster tried to end the relationship. Clippin said recantations aren't uncommon in domestic violence cases, but said there was no supporting evidence in this case that Foster had attacked Ennis. The injuries appeared more consistent with a fight with another woman on a street than with being hit in the head by this defendant, Clippin said, while ruling from the bench. Clippin also pointed to the fact that Ennis appeared unusually calm while making a second 911 call reporting the incident. A bystander who gave her a phone to make the call testified she wasn't frantic and didn't appear to have serious injuries, and there was no evidence of prior abuse. Ennis also testified she had made false allegations in another case after a boyfriend broke up with her. Bitch, you crazy. Prosecutors Kevin Smith had no comment while leaving the courthouse after the ruling, and Foster only gave a thumbs up before getting into a car with his attorney. The 49ers drafted Foster in the 31st overall last year after questions about his health and character caused him to drop from being a possible top 10 pick. Foster delivered on the field, ranking second on the team with 72 tackles in 10 games and a rookie, and looking like a key part of San Francisco's defensive future. Foster then was charged in January in Alabama with second-degree marijuana possessions before the incident in February that led to this case. Foster is due in court next month for a hearing in his marijuana case. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy said the league will continue to monitor all developments in the matter, which remains under review. Okay. And I think that's all I have for sports at this time. Yep. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to take another quick little break here and be right on back. You know what I haven't done in a while is news of the weird. I know y'all love that. So let's take this break and find something funny to report.
Work it all out this night.
to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The phone number to the show is 646-727-2914. Okay, now we're going to do News of the Weird. Always something funny to laugh at, right? Make you think for a minute, and then you bust out laughing. So first story is a Florida Highway Patrol trooper arrived at the scene of a crash in Orlando on April 29th to find Scott Eklund, 32, uninjured but highly agitated. Trooper Corrado arrested Eklund after Eklund helpfully told the trooper he could get more meth than had been found in the search of Eklund's wrecked Chevy Impala if the trooper would allow him to leave the scene. Mr. Eklund was making no sense during our conversation, Corrado wrote in his report. According to the Orlando Sentinel, Eklund, who was arrested earlier in April for crashing a truck into a house and claiming to be an FBI agent as he brandished an assault rifle, was charged with meth possession and driving with a suspended license and taken to Orange County Jail. Okay. Indecent exposure. Neighbors of the pooper intendant, a New Jersey school superintendent nabbed for repeatedly defecating on a high school running track, were nonplussed by the news. Thomas Tramagalini, 42, superintendent of schools in nearby Kenilworth, was charged April 30th in Whole Model, New Jersey Municipal Court for defecating in public, lewdness, and littering after being caught on surveillance video relieving himself on a daily basis during his run at the Whole Model High School track. The track is about 3 miles from his home in Aberdeen, but neighbors told NewJersey.com that Tramagalini always struck them as a nice guy, except for pooping in the field, one added. Another dismissed all the attention. If he wasn't a super, this wouldn't even be in the news. My God. And he's a superintendent in New Jersey school? Wow. Wow. Okay. The Palais de Tokyo, a contemporary art museum in Paris, has made a name for itself by granting special visiting hours to nudists. On May 5th, Reuters reported naturists were invited to tour an exhibit with about 160 attendees taking advantage of the Sans Clothing event. Paris is seeing an increase in naturist events, according to Julien Claude Pinardry, communications director for the Paris Naturist Association. The naturist way of life is to be naked. Naturists are pushing past barriers, taboos, or mentalities that were obstructed, he said. Next up for French nudist, a clubbing night later this year. Okay. Questionable judgment. Angelique Sanchez, 26, of Denver, Colorado, was asked to provide a urine sample for a prospective employer on May 3rd. So, of course, she stopped off at a 7-Eleven store in Aurora to apply the final touch. She put the urine-filled bottle in a microwave and turned it on, whereupon the sample blew up. A 7-Eleven clerk who observed the yellow liquid and the smell was unquestionably urine dripping from the microwave confronted Sanchez, who wiped the liquid out of the microwave and onto the floor and then walked out. KUSA-TV reported the police caught up with her at a nearby clinic and issued a summons for damaged property. Medical expert Camila Sasson guessed that Sanchez was trying to restore the sample to body temperature. Yeah, she probably was. Okay. Visitors to New York's Fort Ticonderoga were in for a special treat as locks of hair from Revolutionary War generals turned traitor Benedict Arnold and his first wife, Margaret, were put on display during the season's opening weekend of May 5th and 6th. Well, curator Matthew Kegel told the Associated Press Arnold's hair was recently rediscovered in the museum's collections and had been preserved by the family. The private historical site obtained the hair in the 1950s, saving a lock of the deceased family members' hair was a common practice during the 1700s. Arnold helped capture Fort Ticonderoga from the British during the opening weeks of the Revolutionary War. Weird cliche. Well, drivers along the I-70 outside of the Indianapolis thought it was raising money for them May 2nd as $600,000 in cash tumbled out of the back doors of a Brinks truck and onto the highway. I saw this on the news. The Indianapolis Star reported. State Police spokesman Sergeant John Perrine said an undetermined amount of cash has not been accounted for. People were jumping over fences and crawling on the ground to pick up loose bills flying around. In a tweet, he warned, finding a large sum of money is no different than other property. If a brand new car fell off a semi, would the first person to find it get to keep it? It belongs to someone else. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I saw that story on the news, and I don't even watch the news. I just happened to be channel surfing, and I stopped to see this story. And, yeah, people were all over the place. I mean, it was just piles of money all over. Okay, well, this is one way to do it. When Leroy Mason, 68, of Barton, Vermont, takes care of a problem, he doesn't do things halfway. On April 30th, as his smoke detector blared yet again, Manson aimed his 20-gauge shotgun at the cursed piece of electronics and fired twice. Unfortunately, the shots also hit the adjoining wall of an occupied apartment. Fire and EMS crews called to the scene had been before, according to a Vermont State Police news release quoted by Boston 25 News. Mr. Mason has complained in the past about frequent false alarms and was upset that fire crews would not relocate the detector. Mr. Mason took it upon himself to relocate the smoke detector. When first responders relieved him of his shotgun, Mason rearmed himself with a Colt 45 handgun and demanded his shotgun back. Mason was finally subdued and charged with aggravated assault with a weapon and reckless endangerment. And crazy on top of that. Okay, here's a definition of insanity. April 11th was a great day for Mariko Sonny Lewis of Maple Heights, Ohio. He got out of jail. Lewis, 40, served time in state prison for robbing a Cleveland Key Bank branch in November 2015. To celebrate, he returned to the same bank on April 12th and robbed it again. Are you kidding me? According to WIOI, taking about $1,000, Lewis was indicted on May 1st with one account of bank robbery. Okay, his girlfriend must be waiting for him at the joint, okay? Why would you turn around and go back and do the same thing again and go right back to jail? Jose Aurelio, 49, of Bellflower, California, was more angry than scared when a police officer drew a gun on him March 16th. Mistakenly thinking Areola had stolen a roll of Mentos, which retails for $1.19. A security camera at an Orange County service station captured the incident, showing Areola placing the Mentos on the counter along with a $20 bill. As he waited for his change, Areola put the mints in his pocket, which is when an off-duty officer behind him pulled a gun out of his pocket of his hoodie and ordered him to put the mints back on the counter. When the clerk confirmed Aurelio had paid, the officer said, "Oh, my apologies. It was traumatic, the whole incident." Areola told the Orange County Register, "Are you seriously pulling a gun out over a pack of Mentos?" Wow. Why didn't he just ask, okay? Inexplicable. Toronto police determined pranksters might have been behind their discovery on May 2nd of a blue Honda Civic, ranging from a rope under the Millwood Overpass Bridge, missing its windows, windshield, and engine. Originally, officials thought the burned-out car might be part of a movie shoot, but further research didn't turn up any authorized filming in Toronto. "I've never seen anything like that before," a passing cyclist said. "This is hilarious." However, officers warned if caught, the culprits could face charges. And that is news of the weird. Okay, well, I want to thank you, everybody, for joining me tonight on In the Studio. Now, next Wednesday, we've got a special guest. Mr. Harry Pisanis is going to be on. I'm going to interview him for 30 minutes, and he's going to talk about his book, his website, his company, and also his fitness apparel. So I will be advertising that and putting it up probably starting Sunday, so you guys make sure you tune in on Wednesday. But it's going to be a great show, so please turn in. His name is Harry Pisanis. Like I said, we're going to talk about his book, his website, his company, and his fitness apparel. So do turn in. And I want to thank you, everybody, for joining me today, whether around the world, in the chat room, or on the phone. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and have a good rest of the week. And be safe out there, okay? And I love you. If no one else has told you they love you today, I do.